The Front Row Back Row podcast is a show where two grad school buddies discuss physical therapy entrepreneurship. I help guide a company to an eight-figure exit, and I'm now starting my own mobile company. Brian grew his mobile practice to four clinics, and he's now doing $1 million in revenue. Join us as we help you grow your own business. Hello and welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast. My name is Dr. Owen Campbell, and with me as always is Dr. Brian Wolf, and together we are PhysioGrowth. Today we are going to be talking about, sorry about that little cough to start it off, blowing everybody's ears out in their car. But we're going to talk about how to make your business sellable, right? So for longtime listeners of this podcast know that I have just started a cash pay practice, mobile, and I'm just, you know, at best, it's a very nice job, right? And I'm hoping to build it into a proper business. Well, Brian has actually done that. He started way earlier than me, started where I'm at, and now he has five clinics. And he takes insurance, and he does a lot with fitness. So with this, I want to kind of get your perspective, Brian, on somebody. I don't even want to say just like me, because I'm way too far away about thinking about even possibly selling a business. But you know, we want to be able for our listeners to understand, because we might have some people who have a clinic, two clinics, maybe they're cash pay, maybe they're thinking about insurance, maybe, I don't know, should I spend money on marketing and, you know, all this other stuff. And with the goal of selling their business, finding a buyer to sell it to. And I want to know from you, because we have some, you know, good conversations that we've had both professionally as a network and also in our mastermind group about selling a business. And I want to know, what are some of the things that you would do, like, let's say to me, right, as a starter, and then we can work your way up to you, to make my business more sellable? What are like the early things you should start thinking of? And then obviously, once you've had a bunch of clinics, the pivots you should make.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're asking, right, is how to maximize the ability to sell what you are creating, right? And I think there's a couple different things I would tell people. And there's no like silver bullet to this, but I'll use some analogies to different companies and why their valuations are higher and whatnot, right? So the first thing that I would suggest is, when you think about trying to sell a business of any kind, if I wanted to sell a business tomorrow, but I haven't been setting it up to be sold in, you know, the last 5 to 10 years, then in essence, it's going to be very difficult to sell, or I'm going to sell it for pennies on the dollar of what I could sell it for in reality. Right. And I'll give an example of somebody once that asked this. So I had this when I first started my business. I was a mobile PT practice, right? Very similar to how Owen's talked about. And I remember this guy, he was mobile as well and had a really great client list. And he approached me and he was like, listen, my parents are moving. They're older. He was a little bit older, but not that much older, but he was like, my parents are moving down to North Carolina and I'm looking to sell my business. Right. And I remember thinking to myself, as a person who was just starting out, I was like, what would I pay for that? Right. What would I pay for that person's business? And the answer was far less than he thought that it was worth. Because the reality of it is like, all right, so say I pay him even like $10,000. Okay.
Yeah.
So I pay him $10,000 and say he's got 30 patients a week. Mm-hmm. Well, what if half those patients don't like me? Yeah. Right. So all of a sudden in half, I just purchased a business and half the business walked out the next day. Mm-hmm. So you got to think about that. Like, from an aspect of, can this business run without me? Mm-hmm. And if it can run without me, how confident are the people buying that it's that stable? And that's the first step. So that's what you got to do, is you got to think about, like, all right, building the business around that. We can get into nuts and bolts of that next.
Well, I think that's a pretty good point to say, because a lot of people listening to this are mobile cash pay, or they're maybe just got into a location and they're thinking, okay, you know, I got a busy client list, you know, I got a big social media following, big in air quotes, right? So I must be worth something, right? And I just got to tell him the story of a guy who left here in Phoenix, and he just called like four or five of his PT buddies and said, here, you see my patient now. Didn't sell anything, didn't whatever. He just picked up stakes and moved. Because I think he probably knew that there was no one was going to buy it. And to go through that process was just, why not just go somewhere else? So, I think in the early stages, you know, anybody, you basically have to have something that's sellable. That somebody else can use. That's the big thing, is somebody else needs to see the value in it, not just you.
Well, 100%, right? And anything is worth something that people are willing to buy. So I'm also not suggesting that, like say your friend did that and somebody paid a bunch of money and he was like, that's awesome, like that it was still worth it. But to your point, there's people out there that are just getting it. So I don't think that market's very high. The other aspect of it, talk about maximizing the valuation, is if a physical therapist is going to sell it to another physical therapist, that exit is going to be far less than, say, private equity or venture capital or big hospitals getting involved, right? Yeah. Those checkbooks are just going to be bigger. And so, therefore, if you're looking to maximize that, now you got to think about, okay, right? If I'm a physical therapist and I want a private equity company or a venture capital company or another outside company to come and purchase this business, right? What would I need to do for them to do that? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is also decreasing the volatility around people leaving, to the way the patients come in, to how that could be maximized. So there's a lot of aspects around that process. So when I think of like those types of things, it's not just the physical therapist to physical therapist sale, like that one I was telling you before about that guy going, hey, Brian, will you buy my business, and me cutting him a check. I also probably can't write a check the same size as like a local hospital near you, right? Yeah. They can write a much larger check. So the reality is like that hospital is going to be like, no, we don't want that. Like they're going to be like, I don't want that business, because for us to, it's not even like the CEO of the hospital is going to go see those patients. So while I may retain 50% of those patients, those guys may retain 10% of those patients, not even, right? And so all of a sudden it changes in that way. And they'll also put you in a different model. So, you know, the idea of, hey, I'm going to sell it to another physical therapist at some point is not a bad idea. Like, I also don't want to like poo-poo that idea. It's more of the fact that, like, again, if someone wanted to sell, if Elon Musk wanted to sell Tesla and he only wanted to sell it to another person that was like him, he's going to shrink the pool of those people. So if the pool of those people don't have as much money as others that would be very willing to buy Tesla, right? And I know I'm obviously using a hot topic with Elon, but name any company, insert any company, name Apple or, you know, that kind of stuff. And that, by the way, that's why tech companies scale so fast, is because it's the propriety in the technology, right? Me and Owen could buy that company and it would still do its thing, right? It still has innovation. That's why it's worth so freaking much, because the reality is anybody can buy that, right?
And that's why I think it's important, because I know a lot of people listening will say like, oh, well, you know, I'd rather sell it to a PT, you know, like, especially for if you got out of corporate PT to do a much better product, right? To do a much more high value service. But like you said, the pocketbooks are smaller, the amount of people willing to do it are smaller. So now let's fast forward. Well, before I fast forward, just throwing it out there, if you're listening to this, please tell a friend if you're finding any value in it. This is the only way that we grow this. Share the podcasts on all the apps, whatever, right? Also 5-star reviews, all the stuff they always ask you for. So now let's fast forward me for another few years, right? And say I got a brick and mortar clinic. I have maybe one or two therapists. Maybe I'm taking cash. Maybe I've moved over to insurance, depending on the market. Like, what are some of the things that you would say, okay, you know, you got to start looking towards? So if we sit down, we have a coffee and I say, you know what, I don't want this to just be a cash flow positive thing for the rest of my life. I wanted this to be something where I grind and I work hard and I take less money in the short term for hopefully a bigger payoff at the end. What would you say would be like two or three things that you would say, okay, you got to start putting these systems in place?
Yeah, I would say inevitability is, one, you have to be able to track how you get business. Every single one. You have to know exactly where they're coming from and why they're coming to see you.
Yeah.
You need to automate that practice. So that practice needs to be something that's super simple that anybody could do, right? Like I said, the fact that I could step in there and instantly the business would continue to grow, right? That's awesome. And that I could see where the metrics are and maybe implement other things. Cause maybe there's an angle of, oh, this person's doing this, this, and this, and I can add that. So there has to be a win for the person who's buying the business as well, right?
Okay. So I should step away from, you know, everything's based on my cult of personality, I'm the awesome rock star, and really look towards, like, you know, well, I maybe not that, because that I mean, you want to automate marketing, but on the same time, like, sometimes that's how you build your business. But you're saying more just systematize it, right? So yes. Like just having – Like if somebody says, where do you get your business? You can click on a file on your computer and say here.
Yes. Yeah. Because the ultimately, if I can see exactly where their business is coming from and I can say, okay, like, cause now it creates clarity. So for the person buying the business, if I'm looking at it and go, okay, I can clearly see how they get patients. I can clearly see, especially if you're trying to exit the business. So yeah. That's why, like, a lot of times you'll see when businesses get bought that there'll be people that stick around and stay in the business because what they're doing is they're slowly handing off certain things onto people. That valuation will also increase. So if someone's like, hey, I want out of the business altogether, right? Your valuation is going to go down mainly because like, no matter how you slice it and dice it, you're a huge piece of the business, right?
Yeah.
And so ultimately when you think about being transparent and seeing what's going on in the business and the less that you're doing on the day-to-day work, the valuation starts to go up, right? Mm-hmm. Along with obviously the net profit outside of what you're making. So reinvesting, I've talked about this a lot, but taking as little money as you possibly can and reinvesting into the business so that it can grow in the initial few years is essential because ultimately what allows you to do is build it to a point where, all right, nice. Now I can grow and keep building, you know, having other therapists coming in and I have more patients and I can reinvest into technology that can help keep building this. So essentially it's not on your back the entire time. That's huge.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I think that's something that people think they're doing, right? But they really aren't.
Yeah.
And they think that they're saying, well, you know, I got a front office, she handles this, or I have two other therapists and they're great. And really, you have to be able to take, I almost tell people whenever they ask, you know, is this something to sell or whatever? I say, is this something that, like, I don't know, let's say a mechanical engineer can come in and still make money doing, right? Yeah. And because, you know, that you're going to get a financial person. You're going to get, you know, another, you know, high net worth individual is going to be the one who throws money down at this. And they're probably not going to be a physical therapist. So you're going to have to be able to do that stuff where you're saying, okay, you know, if I leave for a week and don't say like, oh, if I leave for a vacation, I still made money. So it's fine. Like, that's not the same. Cause yeah, like, exactly. Patients know you're coming back, you know, all that stuff. But you want to be able to say, I could fall off the face of the earth and this thing would still make money.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the advantage that people have as a provider when you take insurance. Right. So, yep. I mean, I know I've been on podcasts, people have interviewed me and they go, well, that's weird. You went from cash to insurance. That never happens. And I'm like, because I saw this problem, right? I saw this issue of, well, what ends up happening is in the insurance-based world, what also ultimately is occurring is it's a lot easier to retain clients without it being me alone.
Well, right. And the big difference I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the difference I see is that the cash pay world, the biggest challenge is marketing and getting new people. And you're marketing a very personal service. So it very much has to be about the person that's delivering the service.
Bingo.
In the insurance-based world, it is really actually a game of systematization or however you say it, right? So the guy who can do it the most efficiently is the guy who makes the biggest multiple because you're all playing under the same reimbursement levels. You all are basically getting the same marketing stream of, do you take my insurance? Are you close to me? Right. Yeah. And then in our world, the little bit of a wild card is, do you have a good cash-based option and ways to kind of diversify a little bit? But almost always it's, the people who win in insurance are very good at creating systems, whereas the cash pay model, you can very much win in that, right? But you can only go so high because you're marketing, that's the biggest thing, and you have to market a person in physical therapy. You can't just market you know, a clinic.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple of examples of multi-clinic, like cash-based places. Like, I also don't want to say that it can't.
Well, be. Well, yeah, but multi-meaning one.
Yeah. Right? Well,
like two or three. Yeah.
Well, that's
and it's usually the owner going to two different locations with staff at each location.
Yeah.
Like I don't know about you, man, but I have not seen a fully cash-pay physical therapy company.
If you're listening, so here's what I would say, right, to this. If you're listening, because I would agree with Owen as well. However, I'm open to the fact that we both be wrong. So for so if you are listening to this podcast, if you're a physical therapist, you listen to this podcast and you're like, I know this company and please like leave it in the comments below because like me and Owen reach out to them and get them on the podcast and I'd love to chat it up and then again, give value.
I'd love to know what they're doing. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
It's because Phoenix, I can tell you that. Yeah.
Well, because then I'd be very curious to see, like, my guess would be there is another X factor that we're not thinking about, meaning there's some sort of like, there's some sort of like rural issue. There's some sort of like, right. Like I bet that's not being done in LA or, you know, New York or Chicago or big market cities.
Or it's in like industrial medicine where like literally corporate wellness company who offers PT. Yeah, right. And exactly. It's direct bilateral agreements.
Yeah. Which, and so
we've talked about before is an awesome way to keep in the cash model.
Exactly. So I'd love to chat with somebody like that because I think that's something where we could see it. And again, like I think it's possible. I know it's possible because if you look at it in the fitness industry and stuff like that, there's all sorts of other places where that would work. But I think that's why you're seeing different like softwares and apps in the physical therapy world kind of develop, because I think more and more people are trying to leverage technology in a way that, like, you know, that's where the home exercise program stuff's coming through and all this other stuff. So, you know, to me, I think that there's going to be a different approach to it. In general.
I will say there hasn't been one, but I do think there will be one, right? So if you look at the public perception of PT, going downhill with all the mills, right? And we've been saying that for God, since we've been in school, right?
Yeah.
It's always been, oh, you know, the death of PT is upon us because of all the mills and this one terrible. They've been saying that for years. They're going to say it for again. But I do think there is more and more of the population who are expecting that there is a difference between the cash experience and the insurance experience. Now, the insurance people who are going to win are the ones who can best replicate a cash experience, right? And then the cash people who are going to win are going to be the ones who can scale much like an insurance person.
For sure.
So, like, if you can find your way to be a hybrid, I think that's probably the only way we're going to see anybody be, you know, more than two clinics or three clinics. Or I should say independent clinics, meaning the owner isn't in three different locations.
You know, we got to get Jerry Durham back on here because I think Jerry
did. I know, because he hates it. He's just like, oh, cash is just a way to pay. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, Jerry, I think they don't about it. So we'll have to reach out to Jerry and see if we can get that. But yeah, so that'll be a good one to play with anyway. So,
cool. All right, man. Well, we will land this plane here. If you do have any questions, just hit us up in the comments. You know, we're always looking for good ideas, good people. If there's anything that you want to ask us, by all means, and join our mastermind group. It's $100 a month. It is a full hour once a week of Q&A calls with me and Brian. So if you think we can add anything to your practice, by all means, look us up. It's physio-growth.com.
Along with lots of other cool videos and stuff like that as well. So
I know.
Cool.
I know. All right. See you.
See ya.